Last week, I began a series of messages talking about basic Christian disciplines. And some people may have found it kind of strange to talk about tithing as one of the first basic Christian disciplines. But again, I did so because tithing is probably almost one of the most scientifically measurable things that you can do to see God work. Anybody who's develop the discipline of tithing will testify to the fact that God is able to take 90% and stretch it and make it bigger than 100%. Meaning when you are faithful to give your 10% back to God, you unlock a whole realm of spiritual warfare where you rebuke Satan and you engage in a way God's blessing on your finances. And it's just anybody who does it will testify to the fact that it's something that works. It doesn't make sense, but I guess it doesn't have to. So what we're going to do today is look at a second discipline, and we're going to talk about the practice of wisdom. So you can take your notes out, and you get some blanks that you can fill in. And in a way, last week was a specific example of practicing wisdom, taking a scriptural truth that talks about what will happen when you do something that God asks you to do, when God commands you to do it, and then seeing that truth play out in your life. I had one person approach me. It was very excited, realized that it was something that they needed to do, and so they gave me their first tithe to put in the offering plate. And I was able to pray over that and told them that I'll be excited to have them testify in a while about how God begins to work within their finances. But coming back to this whole thing, the key concept of this series is the word lordship. And so last week, you know, we asked the question, who's in charge? Who is in charge? And by engaging this spiritual law in place and choosing to say, you know what, instead of doing what the world tells me I should do with my money and hoard it and store it and keep all of it, instead, I am going to engage this spiritual law that says I give back 10% of the first fruits to God and declare him to be the Lord over my finances. So today, when we talk about wisdom, the question that I want to ask you is, whose wisdom are you going to rely on? Your wisdom? Dr. Phil? Oprah? You know, she's only got 1 year left on TV. You know, the wisdom of the world? You know, or simply on what sounds right or good? That reminded me of a few scriptures. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Go ahead and show that one, Zach. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And it's also the exact same words in Proverbs 16:25. So that one was important enough that the writer of Proverbs felt it was important to say twice. On what sounds right or good. I hope you don't base your wisdom on simply what sounds right or good, because that seems to indicate what sounds right could end disastrously, yes? Going to the next one, Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Have you ever rushed into something without listening to advice? Later wished you'd taken the time to seek out somebody's guidance? Or this next one, which is kind of fun, Proverbs 18:17. The first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and questions him. That's just a reminder that it's not good for you to kind of come up, you know, to base your assumptions on what's going on simply based on one person's view of what happened. But how often are we guilty of doing that? Well, he told me a story and it made sense. It seemed right. But then I heard the other side. And then the other side. And then the other side. Actually, I've heard it said before that there are 3 sides to every story. Your side, their side, and the truth. Think about that. But let's talk about wisdom here. Let's talk about wisdom. Go on to the next one, Zach. Proverbs 3, and in the the handout, it says 5 to 6, but I'm actually going to read 5 to 10 because this even ties in with last week. So we're going to try to get a complete picture of this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Just a warning. We don't want to base our understanding of knowledge and wisdom and the decisions that we make on what makes sense to us, because what makes sense to us could very well be wrong. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And then this next part really ties in with what we talked about last week specifically. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. So there's really not a disconnect between this specificity or the specific nature of what we talked about last week and the more general view of looking at wisdom in very broad terms today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, what I want to try to do here very quickly before we get into some of the specifics is to establish a foundation, and I'm able to kind of lay this foundation out thanks to Dr. Piper from Oklahoma Wesleyan University. When Oklahoma Wesleyan hired Dr. Piper to come down and be the president of OKWU, which used to be known as Bartlesville, which is in Bartlesville, but it was Bartlesville College, but now it's Bartlesville Wesleyan College, but now it's Oklahoma Wesleyan University. OKWU is a very strong Christian college, liberal arts, that's experienced a lot of success in the past few years in many different areas, academically, in the sports programs, but primarily in the spiritual focus on campus. And I really appreciate Dr. Piper. I hope to bring him back sometime this fall. But he established four pillars or four foundational statements that in his heart, God laid these things on his heart, and he wanted to be the basis of everything that happens at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. And I realized as I was kind of meditating on this concept of wisdom, these four things came to mind. He'd be so proud of me that I remember these. He'd probably give me a t-shirt. But anyway, but he's not here. I'll have to call him. Maybe he'll mail me a t-shirt. But what I want to do is show you how these four statements in their basic nature actually build a foundation today for looking at wisdom and applying wisdom to our life. So for Dr. Piper at Oklahoma Wesleyan, for him, it was these four things. He wanted to build the college on the primacy of Jesus Christ, making him first and foremost, Jesus Christ, his example, his nature, the character, God revealed in the flesh. The priority of Scripture, God revealing himself through the Word of God, through the Scriptures, and then these two leading to the pursuit of truth, which we get from looking at Jesus Christ, we get from reading the Scriptures, which then leads us to the last one, the practice of wisdom. Now, the reason I borrowed this from Dr. Piper this morning is because I want you to understand that this is a wisdom that comes from a very direct place. Scripture talks about wisdom that looks good and seems to make sense, but that is earthly and sensual and devilish. There is wisdom that we can pursue that's sneaky and it's crafty and it just doesn't come from God. And I want you to mistake that wisdom for the wisdom that we're talking about today, a wisdom that comes from pursuing truth, that comes from establishing Scripture as a priority, that comes from establishing Jesus Christ as your foundation. So when it comes to wisdom, there are three things that I want you to do. The fourth is a bonus. You'll see in a minute. The first is get it. Simply get wisdom. And I quote that directly from the Proverbs. So what do I mean by that? Search for it deliberately. Seek it out. Get it. Search for it deliberately. Seek it out. Stop living life flying by the seat of your pants, just kind of making decisions on the fly that seem to make sense at the time. It's ridiculous. Take the time to get wisdom. In fact, if I read Proverbs 4:5-7, look what it says. get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. If it cost all you have, get understanding. I think I'm missing a word there. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. For some reason, when I transferred this verse over, every time there was a little footnoted verse number, the word next to it didn't get copied over, and I had to go, it was kind of weird. So the word though is missing. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom, though it cost all you have, get understanding. Now these are the kind of things that we see in Scripture. Now, does Scripture command us to do things that are impossible? No. But they are things that we have to do. Wisdom doesn't just come. I mean, when I was a kid, we saw these TV shows where somebody, instead of studying, they would fall asleep on a tape recorder and they would learn it while they slept because a tape recorder was playing. And we tried that and it didn't work. You could put your Bible under your pillow and hope that maybe some truth would absorb into your brain through osmosis, right? Osmosis, but it doesn't work that way. Yes, okay, Jessica's getting all technical on the scientific aspect now. Yes, I know. It doesn't work that way. We have got to deliberately find it. We've got to deliberately look for it. We've got to deliberately seek it out. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. All of our favorite words all rolled up into one. Or if we go over to Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. There's more words missing in there, isn't there? What is up with that? Just a few. Okay, I have to go through that later and check it out. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. Do you see the deliberate nature of this? The desperation, crying out for wisdom, applying your heart to understanding, calling out for insight, looking at as you're looking for silver, searching for hidden treasure. I remember when McDonald's runs those little Monopoly things every couple of years. You know, and you go, you buy a Big Mac and you get Boardwalk. You don't get Boardwalk because if you did, you know, you supposedly, you know, you could go buy a Big Mac meal, and if you supersize it, you get extra little game pieces, right? You know, and you have the little Monopoly board, and you collect Reading Railroad, and if you collect all the Reading Railroads, then maybe you'd win a stereo system, and if you collect, all of the orange ones, you might win a trip to Florida, and if you collect Boardwalk and Park Place, you can win $1 million. Imagine if you had gone to McDonald's and you knew you had collected Park Place and you ordered your Big Mac meal and you peeled off the little, oh, it's Boardwalk. Wait a minute. I got Park Place last week. Would you make it a priority to go home and find Park Place? I know I put it somewhere safe. Now, finding that little piece of paper is the difference between getting the $1 million or not. How desperately would you, I mean, think about this. I put myself in that situation before, you know. Because you have a sense of desperation. Look for wisdom as you would search for silver and hidden treasure, because it's more valuable than silver and hidden treasure. Get it. Search for it. Seek it out. Make it your goal to find it. Well, one's some wisdom. What's next? Well, the second thing I need to do with wisdom, I need to process it. I need to process it. I need to think and meditate on God's truth. Another good word would be the word ponder. Think and meditate. We've got to process it. We've got to begin to think, what does this mean? How am I going to apply this? How does this work in my situation? How can I take this knowledge, this understanding, this wisdom, and look at it in light of where I'm at right now and what God is trying to show me? Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. I've been told by several people that this word meditate is linked to the same word in the Old Testament that refers to cows chewing their cud, or a cow meditating on its cud. I've been trying to research that and find the connection. I don't have a very good working knowledge of ancient Hebrew, strangely enough. But I've heard it a number of times, so I'm inclined to believe that there's a sense of truth there, because when you talk about pondering something, there's a sense of taking a piece of truth and chewing on it. Chew on this. Reminded of Nehemiah, who said, I took your words and did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. So there's a sense that when you ponder or meditate or chew on the truths that you find in the scriptures, the truths that God shows you, that you're able to really begin to take those in context and understand them and say, you know, this is how I can really apply that to me. This is how I can really apply that to my situation today, this week, this month. Great example is the passage that we heard at the beginning of the service this morning from Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. There's a sense of seeking, a desire not to stray from the commands, a desire to, if I'm going to keep my way pure, Lord, how am I going to do it? How am I going to not sin in you, sin against you? By taking your word and hiding it in my heart. That's part of this process of processing, meditating on it. God, teach me your decrees. Let me recount the laws. Let me speak them. Let me say them as I learn them. Let me rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. We have a description of a young man determined to keep his way pure. And how is he going to do it? Not through wishful thinking, not through hoping, not even through simply, you know, going to whatever it is anonymous. It's a process of saying, I am going to keep my way pure by making God's word the focus of my life, by processing, meditating, learning, speaking, focusing on this wisdom that comes from God. Being a student forever. There's never a place in your Christian life where you find that you have arrived. If you think you've arrived, you're in trouble. I guarantee you will be in trouble. Well, I've arrived. I'm good. I'm good. I don't need to learn anything. I don't need to go to church. I can just do church by myself at home. The enemy will take you down. So wisdom, we get it, we process it, and then finally, we do it. Just do it. That means we put it into practice immediately. We've sought it out. We've processed it. We've made it our goal to get every bit of understanding that we can, and now this is where the rubber meets the road. We do it. We practice it, we put it into practice, and we start living it out. What does James say? James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Again, I apologize if there's words missing. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I know some of us want to forget what we look like, but that's another story. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I don't know if that's why I heard a story that Spurgeon, I think it was Spurgeon, locked the church one Sunday morning and people came for worship and they couldn't get in the church because that was in the days when only one person had the key. He barred the doors and people were outside, you know, pastor, let us in. And he says, no, you didn't, not until you put into practice what I taught you last week. This went on for several weeks, apparently, before they finally got the clue. And that must have been before they had boards and voted people out or something. I don't know what the deal what the deal was. But he challenged them. You know, you're not putting into practice what I preached last week. Why am I going to preach anything different when you're not doing it? You know, and I think there must be kind of a righteous frustration that I know that God must feel when we, you know, he's watching us and we're processing and we hear messages and we're bombarded by everything in our culture. I mean, we're bombarded by negative things, attitudes, negative media. But the truth is we also live in a culture where we have access to a lot of encouraging programming. You know, I mean, I was driving back from Greeley, Colorado, after district conference that weekend by myself. And so I found three Christian radio stations just boom, 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 right on the FM dial, just right next to each other. You know, and of course, one of the I think the monikers of one of the stations was, you know, encouraging radio. You know, we have access on our culture, our television. I walk by the stereo in Walmart, it's playing Jeremy Camp, Empty Me, you know. I mean, I listen to, you know, we hear Christian music all over. We have access to literature and things that can encourage us as much as we have access to things that don't. But the truth is, we don't have much of an excuse in our culture. You know, yeah, I know the world is in a bad way. I know that there are a lot of people that are just on their way to destruction because of their mindsets and because what they fill themselves with. I know that we have a lot of negative things that we're exposed to, but we really don't have an excuse because we at the same time have access to so much truth and so much encouragement and so much that God is trying to show us through his word and through books and through publications and through the media that exists on our televisions and on the radio that why aren't we putting this stuff into practice better? Some of us are stuck at the processing phase. We haven't figured out how it all works out yet, so we're waiting until we figure it all out. And I guarantee you, if you wait until you figure it all out, you'll never do it. You see, in John 14, 26, Jesus says, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is where the Holy Spirit plays a part in your life, where he brings to your memory, to your remembrance, the things that you have learned. And he can bring something to your remembrance that you learned in a class years ago. You know, you might be somebody that wasn't raised in the church, but you went one day to a VBS in somebody's backyard or a VBS at some church some morning or some night, and there was a verse and there was something that somebody spoke to you, and the Spirit of God brings that back to your memory from when you were 7 years old, and you're thinking, where did that come from? The great news about this promise is that the more that you give the Spirit of God to work with, the more effective that this is going to play out in your life. If I make it a goal to seek after wisdom and to process it, even when I don't think I've got it all figured out, you find yourself in a situation where you need that knowledge, you need that wisdom. The Spirit of God brings it back to your memory because you've been putting it down in your heart. There are times where you only have to hear something, read something one time for God to be able to bring that back to you. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. The thing that we need to remember as we hesitate to put these things into practice, we know it's true, we know that God said it, we know we're supposed to do it, is the next verse, James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Sometimes we try to get off on loopholes. Well, you know, I didn't lie to you, I just didn't tell you the whole truth. You know, we use that same kind of logic to our life. Well, it's not that I did something wrong, I just didn't do the thing that I know I needed to yet. And, you know, and God is saying, you know what, that's just a sin. You know, if you know you're supposed to do something and you don't do it, not doing it doesn't make it a technicality. Not doing it makes it a sin. Now, the fourth thing isn't really one that you do. It's more the result that happens. So after you get wisdom, after you process wisdom, after you put it into practice, after you do it, what happens? Well, this is where we begin to reap the benefits. There are benefits that we reap when we practice wisdom. That is, we see the results of God's truth at work in and through your life. You know, and yes, it's not necessarily, we don't necessarily do it because we just simply want to reap benefits. We do it because God calls us to do it and it's the right thing to do. But my assignment, my homework for you this week is to go back and reread all of today's scriptures to see what happens when you get wisdom, when you ponder it, and when you put it into practice. Because I guarantee you, every verse that we read today will show you what benefit you'll experience in your life from practicing God's wisdom. That's really all I have to say. Let's stand together and pray, and we'll let you get out of here. Father, we thank you for being the source of our wisdom, the one who guides us, the one who directs us. And I pray, God, that you would not let us be guilty of trying to figure things out on our own, trying to fly by the seat of our pants, just kind of going through life, stumbling our way through, that God, we would look at every aspect, every area of our lives, from our job to our relationships, to the way we work within the body of Christ, to the decisions that we make on a daily basis. God, that you would instill in us a desire to seek after you, to seek your righteousness, to seek first your kingdom, to ask and knock that we may receive and that the door would be opened. That, Lord, we would truly understand the depth of what you want to help us with, of the things in our lives, God, that you want to give us the strength and the wisdom and the authority to do. And when we find ourselves lost and feeling helpless, God, that we would make it our resolve to seek, to get wisdom, to process and meditate on your truth, and then to put it into practice so that we might see your hand at work in our lives, and that people around us might see your hand at work in our lives, so that you would get the glory. So when somebody says, how does that work? You can say, you know what? This comes back to what I learned from God, and this is what I learned. God, I pray for opportunities, for doors of opportunity to open, that we might be able to share how you have shown us and how we have experienced wisdom in our lives. And that it might be evident to all around that you're a loving God that cares about us, that desires to be part of everything in our lives. We thank you for that. We thank you that that was as much purchased on the cross as any of these other things that we've talked about in the past. You died for our sin. You died for our pain and for our guilt. And God, you died so that we might experience the life that you intended for us to experience in the first place. Lord, help us as believers, as Christ followers, to develop a reputation in our communities, among our families, for living wise, prudent lives, full of virtue and focus and rightness with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, do it, process it, get it. Wait, I said it backwards. Get it, process it, do it. All right, God bless. Have a great week, and practice that wisdom, and we'll see you back here next time.